Good morning. I thank the Lord for allowing us to be here this morning with you. And thanks for your invitation to come and share with you from God's Word. I'm noticing in our own lives that from time to time, or week by week or moment by moment, we are growing a little bit older. Even our voices are becoming old. So, you know, but our God is faithful. And that, you see, is the most important thing. I'd like to share with you today from the book of Acts in chapter 17. Acts in chapter 17. And we're going to read the first 17 verses. I am reading from the New King James Version of the Bible. Can I get an amen when you're there? Are we there yet? Amen. Amen. 17 verse 1. Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of the Jews. Then Paul, as his custom was, went into them, and for three Sabbaths reasoned with them from the Scriptures, explaining and demonstrating that the Christ had to suffer and rise again from the dead, and saying, "This Jesus, whom I preach to you, is the Christ." And some of them were persuaded, and a great multitude of the devout Greeks and not a few of the leading women joined Paul and Silas. Verse 5. But the Jews who were not persuaded, becoming envious, took some of the evil men from the marketplace, and gathering a mob, set all the city in an uproar, and attacked the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. But when they did not find them, they dragged Jason and some of his brethren to the rulers of the city, crying out, "These who have turned the world upside down have come here too. Jason has harbored them, and these are all acting contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying, 'There is another king, Jesus.' And they troubled the crowd and the rulers of the city when they heard these things. So when they had taken security from Jason and the rest, they let them go." Verse number 10. Then the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. When they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness and searched the Scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. Therefore, many of them believed, and also not a few of the Greeks, prominent women as well as men. But when the Jews from Thessalonica learned that the word of God was preached by Paul at Berea, they came there also and stirred up the crowds. Then immediately the brethren sent Paul away to go to the sea. But both Silas and Timothy remained there. So those who conducted Paul brought him to Athens, and receiving a command for Silas and Timothy to come to him with all speed. Now while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was provoked within him when he saw that the city was given over to idols. Verse 17. Therefore, he reasoned in the synagogue with the Jews and with the Gentile worshippers, and in the marketplace daily with those who happened to be there. The Lord will add his blessing to the public reading of his word. One of the things that I see in this passage that we read is the faithfulness of Paul. In the first few verses we read that when he had passed through this area called Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of the Jews. This, as we read through the accounts in Scripture and of Paul's activity as a believer, you will find that whenever he went into a different area, he always looked for the place of worship of the Jews. He'll look for the synagogue and he'll go there and he'll sit down with them. He says, this was his custom, verse 2. And so, as he's there, first Sabbath comes, and they're asking him questions, because this matter of Jesus dying on the cross for their sin was new to them, let's put it that way. Although they had known about it or heard about it, this was new to them. And so they wanted to hear, as it were, as much information and first-hand information, if possible, about the death of Jesus and why he died. And so they listened. They reasoned. They asked questions. And you know, sometimes, brothers and sisters, we too need to be those who are always what? Willing and able to give an account of that which we believe. You know, is it a fear that we have that we are not ready to give an account? What if when you went to the supermarket and you started talking to someone, they ask you about your faith? Can you tell them in a few words who Jesus is to you and what Jesus did for the whole world? We need to be able to be those who are able to open our mouths and give an answer and a defense for what we say and what we do and what we believe. And so here's a conversation taking place, and Paul is explaining to them and demonstrating to them, first of all, that Christ had to suffer. So the first thing he lays out is look, this Jesus that you're hearing about, he came for a purpose. He came to suffer and eventually die for our sin. The message is simple. We should all be able to explain it, that Jesus came to suffer and to die for our sin. They said he had to suffer, and that when he died, he would rise again. Now, this was a big challenge for those in first century church, because they could not understand this mystery of resurrection. This was new to them. They knew that, I'm sure they had seen crucifixions before. And so we know that they knew that this was a certain charge and that was brought against people who were supposed to be criminals and they were crucified. I mean, they also knew that the Romans were good at it. They knew how to put people through sufferings. I don't know, I'm not as familiar with it, but I'm thinking about in our day and age, when someone is sentenced to die because they've committed some heinous crime and they're sentenced to die, let's say, in the electric chair. And I've seen movies that things are set up in such a way. And in our day and age, we've been hearing people saying, man, that's a cruel way to die, and we shouldn't be doing that, and you shouldn't be executing judgment on people like that. Well, if we, as men and women, and if it lives in a society where we're thinking that to put someone to death in a certain way is so cruel and heinous, what about what they did to our Lord Jesus? The one who knew no sin became sin for you and for me. He was sinless. He hadn't committed any crime. But he died in your stead and in mine. He took your place and my place. And so Paul is here explaining and demonstrating that Christ had to suffer and to rise again. In other words, he had to die, he had to rise again, he had to rise again from the dead. And he told him, this Jesus whom I preach to you is the Christ. He is the Messiah. He is the Savior. You know, no one has ever come on or seen in this time of history who can truly claim to be the Christ. Because the first question I would ask them, and you probably would too, would be this. Who did you die for? And then if they can answer that, they say, well, you know, I died for my mom. I died in my child's place. Many a parent you will hear say, I'd gladly lay down my life for the life of my child. But then the other question is this. Were you ever raised up? And the answer has to be no. The only person that rose from the dead, having been laid there for dying for sinful man, is Jesus. He says, this Jesus whom I preach to you, says Paul, is the Christ. He made no excuses for whom he was talking about. And so in verse number 4, we see that these people were not prepared to hear all that. They listened to certain things, but they were not prepared for this. He says, some of them were persuaded, and a great multitude of devout Greeks and not a few of leading women joined Paul. So he got a following. He got a following. There were people who were willing to hear him. We, as believers in this century, should not be ashamed to tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ. And the fact that he loved us so, that he died in our stead. But not only did he die, he was buried and he rose again. And that should be our story. We shouldn't have to worry. You know, people say, you want you to give your testimony. And first immediately you think, oh man, all these glorious words I got to come up with. No. He came. He lived among men. He suffered and died for our sin and rose again from the dead. And so all these people joined Paul and notice what the next verse says. But the Jews who were not persuaded became envious. You read that word, I'm thinking to myself, yeah. People will get jealous. They became envious. And so they went ahead and they says, okay, we're gonna set this right now. We're gonna fix this. So they took some of the evil men, or is it good men? No, it's evil men from the marketplace. They went out there and they hired some gangbangers in our day and age. That would be kind of what it was. They hired some gangbangers. Last night we live borderline Gardena, and my wife and I were heading home. And when we turned onto the street that would get us to the house, the street was blocked. Cars, lights, noise, music, they were having some kind of a party. I pulled up, couldn't get by. You'd think that somebody would move so that true traffic would go through? No. It was as if they were daring us to try and pass there, although we live right on the corner. So I had to reverse and go around to get us home. But this is how mob rule works. They will not let you through. They will not listen to you. How many times we read in scripture that when the message of salvation is preached, I will not have this man to rule over me. I won't have him. I don't like him. I don't want to hear about him. And that has not changed. So they started this uproar in the city. Not only that, they attacked the house where Paul was staying, the home of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. So they want to bring them out now. We can speculate. If Paul was there, what would they have done? Stone him? They were known to do that to followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. But they were there and they were like, okay, we're going to set this right once and for all. Well, they couldn't. When they did not find them, verse number 6, they dragged Jason and some of the brethren to the rulers of the city, crying out, "These who have turned the world upside down have come here too." Who were they talking of? They were talking about Paul. And they said that he had turned the world upside down. Well, did Paul do that? Not really. It was the power of God that did that. It was he who was on the throne that did that. You know, when you're introduced to the Lord Jesus Christ, there's only two options you really have. You can say, you know what? I am a sinner. I recognize that. Thank you for sharing the word with me. And the next aspect is, I want to accept him as my savior. Because Jesus is the only one that can save us from our sins. He is the only one whose blood can wash us white as snow. He is the only one who can fill us to overflowing. So that when we meet somebody else and we start talking to them and witnessing to them and telling them about the love of Jesus, they can be able, they will have an answer like, this man, this woman has been with Jesus. They had turned the world upside down. Jason, of course, wasn't there. And look at the accusation that was brought against them. Verse number 7. Jason has harbored them and these are all acting contrary to the decrees of Caesar. Since when the people were there talking about the great things that Caesar had done? Caesar, who would not think about it to throw them in the lion's den or throw them to the lions, whatever it is, or make games using them as human participants without anything to defend themselves. But here we read that these men were doing something that was contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying there is another king. So now Caesar is king. We don't want to hear what anybody else has to say. He is king. They said that this man, they were being told, Jesus, was now another king. Yes, he is king. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And beloved, one day he's coming back. And when he comes back, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord. That is amazing. Those of us who knows him as Savior now will be in that throng that will be singing, Holy, Holy, Holy. In the meantime, until he comes, the option of accepting the Lord Jesus Christ and his grace and mercy is there before us. The question is, what will you do with Jesus? What will you do with him? You could walk away. Or you could do like a lot of people do. What they'll do is they'll mingle, they'll come and they'll visit with the saints, hoping that that will be enough. That is not enough. Choose you this day whom you will serve, is what the book says. You gotta make a choice. You can't just slide on the side there and hold on to your Christian friend's shirt tail. Choose you this day whom you will serve. And it's not the friend that you know. It is Jesus. The choice is between you and the Lord. The decree was there was this new king, another king, and his name is Jesus. At least they named him. It says that the people troubled the crowd and the rulers of the city when they heard these things. So when they had taken security from Jason and the rest, they let them go. So at least, since they didn't find Paul and Silas with Jason, they released Jason. Notice the steps that the brethren took. Verse number 10. Then the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. When they arrived, I love this verse. When they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. Did they say, you know what? What just happened over there? We don't like. So we're not going back to another synagogue. We're not going there. But we are called upon to be brave. We are called upon to be willing to go back again and again, because the soul of humans are so valuable. So when they had taken security from Jason, they left. Verse number 10. Then the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. And so now they're in Berea. When they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. Verse 11 says, but these were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, so that they received the word with all readiness. Let's unpack that a little bit. We are not called to simply talk to one person, but we are called upon to do what? To talk to as many people as will listen to us, as will hear us out. Because we don't know who is going to accept the Lord Jesus Christ. Only the Spirit knows that. But we need to be willing to share, to give an account. Tell our own story. It's called the gospel. Tell our own story to as many as will hear us and listen to us. So they received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. We, as brothers and sisters, need to be able to point others to the Word of God so that they can search for themselves to find out what we're saying is so. It says, so many of them believed, and also not a few of the Greeks, prominent women as well as men. Now, interestingly enough, when I've looked at this and I've studied it, I realize that just like the Lord Jesus, as he walked this earth, had a cadre of women who believed in him, who went with him, who followed him along, who rendered service to him. Just like that, when Paul came on the scene, the same thing happened. There were always those faithful women who were willing to serve the Lord in the background and on the sideline, whatever it took. And us men should continue to give the Lord thanks for those sisters who are willing to be on the supportive team. We should give the Lord thanks that we have a sister or two who can play the music. We should give the Lord thanks that we have sisters who willingly get in the kitchen and serve us. And we could name so many things that the sisters are good for. And they do it willingly. They don't murmur. They don't complain. And it helps us to be strengthened. It encourages us to be able to go out there and witness for the Lord. Notice that in this account, it's Paul and Silas. But they had the team of sisters who supported them in so many ways. So the men might be the mouthpiece, but this is a team effort. It's an effort for brothers and sisters to tell forth the good news of God's salvation. And so when the Jews from Thessalonica learned that the word of God was being preached by Paul at Berea, guess what they did? They came there also and they stirred up the crowds. There was this mob that was going around, always in the background, trying to create problems. And so they stirred up the crowds. Now, at what point should we confront them. Well, in verse 14, it seems as though the brethren thought best not to confront them. Then immediately the brethren sent Paul away to go to the sea. But both Silas and Timothy remained there, since they wanted Paul so bad. They sent him away, but he left his witnesses there. So those who conducted Paul brought him to Athens, and receiving a command for Silas and Timothy to come to him with all speed, they departed. While Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was provoked within him when he saw that the city was given over to idols. Paul was in tune with the need of the people of his day. He had that spirit within him who guided him and directed him, and he noticed certain things. So these folks were idol worshippers. And so he reasoned with them in the synagogue, with the Jews and with the Gentile worshippers, and in the marketplace daily with those who happened to be there. I am guilty of this. I go to the market, sometimes I'll get into a conversation with someone about the produce or the price of goods and stuff like that, and I'll talk about everything else, except to say, oh, by the way, have you heard of Jesus? And you can develop your own skill as to how to open the conversation. But beloved, we have to become those who are willing to start the conversation. Don't worry about what you're going to say or how you're going to word it. Because once you get started with that conversation, the Holy Spirit will give you what to say. And therefore we can go ahead and we can open it. The plan is to start the conversation. So I have to restock on things like my tracks and stuff, so that when I talk to somebody, it seems to be that reception. They don't want to stone me, but they're willing to maybe listen to me for a minute and say, can I share something with you? I'd like you to read this for me, please. It's not that hard. We just need to become a little bit more active in our service for the Lord. We're saved. We're bound for heaven. If he comes now, we know we're going to be safe. But do we have a family member or family members? Do we have a neighbor or friends that have probably said to us, you almost persuade me to be a Christian? Maybe some other day we could revisit this conversation. And when we hear that, a lot of times what happens is it never happens, because then they begin to avoid us. Beloved, we are in the battle. We have the tools. We now need to be willing to, if we're in the fray, continue. And if we're not, get into the battle. We need to be fit to fight. And how do we become fit to fight? We study the Word of God, which is called the sword of the Spirit. May the Lord continue to bless us and bless this assembly and bless all brothers and sisters here. I thank you for the opportunity to share with you, and I trust that when the time comes, we'll be able to rejoice and say, remember when we used to be at Vista. Today you're here, and if you have not yet quite gotten there, I have not quite said, I'm ready, Lord. May today be your day. May today be your day when you can say, I'm ready. I finally am ready. I understand a little bit more. And come to the Lord. Just as you are. Don't try to fix yourself. You know why? Because you never will. That's just one of the ploy of the devil. Wait until you do this. Wait and no. Come to him just as you are. That's what the songwriter wrote. Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. That's how you do it. You come to him just as you are. Let us pray. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we give thanks again for the privilege of opening up your word. The words of my mouth are nothing without the Spirit's taking charge. And so we lift up speaker and hearer alike, whether in this building or with whoever is listening on internet. May today be the day when you can say, of all the battles that we engage in, and there are many, of all those battles, and you can name them, the best battle that I can enter into is a battle for the Lord. And he has provided us with the wherewithal because Jesus came, he walked among men, and at the appointed time, he went to the cross and died for our sin. Bless us and keep us and give us the courage and the utterance to tell forth the story of your salvation, Lord Jesus. Bless us all, we ask, as we continue to wait in your presence. We give you thanks in your unworthy and precious name. Amen.